Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Anywhere that you can find podcasts, you can find Locked On Bulls and any of the other shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you leave us lots of five-star reviews. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, like us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls, email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. I'm Sean Hyken, with me as always, Cody Westerlund. Cody, the wait is over. The Windy City Bulls have a D-League coach.
Nate Lenzer, the new head coach of the Windy City Bulls, 37-year-old who served on the Bulls staff last year as a video coordinator, also worked under Fred Hoiberg at Iowa State. Lives on. He spent time on the bench at Southern Mississippi, I believe. And 10 months after it was announced the Bulls had a D-League team coming to Hoffman Estates, 7 months after we found out it was the Windy City Bulls that would be the name, they have a coach, long awaited. Nate's a good guy, kind of soft-spoken.
Yeah.
But always cool to be around in the past year.
I'm happy for him.
At the United Center. Good opportunity for him to lead a team. The Bulls also announced that assistant general manager Brian Hagan will be serving as the Windy City Bulls head GM. Brian, of
course, he's going to also still be an assistant GM for the real Bulls.
Yep, so he has added responsibility, and my understanding basically is he'll be able to get his stamp, obviously, on his own team at a lower level, get some new experience, new opportunity in that regard. But Brian Hagan also is an Iowa State background. But I think more than anything, these Windy City Bulls kind of front office moves here, coaching moves, speaks to the Bulls wanting some continuity. Because it should be noted that Nate Lenzer is a very close confidant of Fred Hoiberg, a guy that Fred respects very much, his voice. As a video coordinator, you do more than just hit record and edit on the video, obviously. You break down film, you're giving scouting reports, you're looking for tendencies in opponents. So he has a lot of kind of that hands-on background, just film breakdown and seeing other teams. But don't you kind of get the gist here that the Bulls want kind of a coordinated effort where Fred has a really close relationship with the guy there? And that makes sense. And I know everyone jumps on the Iowa State bandwagon again, another Iowa State guy going there to coach the team. But I think what they wanted here was just continuity.
No, it totally makes sense. And this is kind of what a lot of these teams that have their own D-League affiliates have been doing for years, where they want to make sure that the coach of the D-League team runs the same system as the coach of the NBA team. And I think the fact that Nate Lenzer was an assistant under Fred at Iowa State, you know, they're on the same page, they run the same offense, and what that's going to do is, you know, if they send somebody like Jerrion Grant or Spencer Dinwiddie or Paul Zipser down to the D-League.
Your boy Paul Zipser.
My boy Paul Zipser with the special Adidas shoe for the extra boner's foot.
Did we ever figure out why he's your boy just because?
I just think that's an awesome factoid.
That is very true. But I mean, you mention it right there, but the Bulls want it to be like the same terminology in both spots.
Right, right.
Down to that nitty gritty.
If you have a coach that's basically running the same system and using the same playbook, then when the guys from the NBA team go down to the D-League for a day for a practice, it's not going to be like they're getting told two different things and then they come back up to the NBA team and they're confused about something.
Yeah, and with Brian Hagan too, it's probably the same type of thing where they want someone who obviously can have a big role still for the Bulls. I guess, do we call them the parent club now, or like the big
parent
league,
club.
The big league Bulls, since they
farm
named
system.
The farm system Bulls, if you get sent down there, bringing up baseball terminology here. But Brian can maybe look for guys that would fit the Bulls in the future, stuff like that, and know their way as well. So, again, practically speaking, the goal here it's not like the Cubs minor league system where you develop a bunch of guys, call them up to the major leagues at the same time, and then you kill it here. It's the NBA where basically at the D-League level, you're hoping to
get
find one guy who can be a
14th or 15th.
mold a guy into a guy who can be a contributor, be a rotation guy for you, and make a difference.
Obviously. And there are plenty of success stories in the history of the D-League. Jeremy Lin was a D-League guy before he caught on with the Knicks.
Yeah, I don't remember quite as many of those as you do. It's still a steep learning curve, I think, to get there. But all in all, I think it was a good move by the Bulls, and now we can anxiously await the roster news that will come out in the next month or two.
Well, Kiwi Gardner's going to be there. That's all we know.
That's all we know. We don't know much about Kiwi Gardner other than he's a point guard, and his agent has told somebody on the internet that he plans on reporting to the Windy City Bulls, right?
Yeah.
But so you're starting to see a little bit of that. We won't spend too long on that, though. On a more somber note, obviously, we did want to touch on the Derrick Rose rape case which there has been more information. The accuser, who goes by Jane Doe, is keeping her anonymity, which is also kind of a sticking point in the case. Rose's side, his camp, his attorneys want her name out there open in the public. The judge is supposed to rule again on that next week, I believe, sometime coming up.
So far, the judges have all declined that request.
Yep, so she wants to keep the anonymity, so that obviously helps your life a lot. But they basically are going to war in the media here a little bit, the two sides, accusing each other of everything. And the latest is that Derrick Rose admitted in deposition that he didn't know what the word consent means, and all the experts basically point out that this entire case hinges on sexual consent, which is no doubt kind of a big event for that case. And Rose being a former Bull, we wanted to touch on it. We don't want to go into it for too long and forever here, but it is getting a little nastier, and of course it's set to go to trial October 4th. And a lot's going to hinge on the upcoming weeks on how people view that, the consent at the heart of this case. And just more stuff came out on that today. I don't know if you have anything to add, Sean, but it is certainly becoming to me more kind of shocking each day that the Bulls actually were able to get rid of Derrick Rose almost knowing this was coming up. I don't know how much they knew. I don't know if we'll ever know how much they knew, but considering how this case has played out, the headlines and the nasty details of it, the Bulls, it's good for them not to have to deal with that in the season, obviously.
Right, and one thing that the woman's lawyers have said in one of these recent interviews that they've given was that their impression was that Phil Jackson, the Knicks president of basketball operations, didn't really do his due diligence to get her side of the story and really see what was going on with this whole lawsuit before making the trade, which, if it's true that he, in fact, didn't investigate, that's a pretty egregious oversight on his part,
yeah,
I would
it's
say.
It's not surprising, though, given the culture still of sports at large.
And also just kind of the Knicks have a history of, you know, not really
dating back to Isaiah
taking
Thomas.
A lot of that stuff. Isaiah Thomas is still, like, an advisor to James Dolan, and he's the president of their WNBA team.
Yeah, and just obviously, to be fair, I mean, Rose's side here is accusing the accuser's camp of trying to try this through the media and getting public opinion on their side and tarnishing Derrick Rose's image is what his side's saying. So,
and again, we're just presenting what both sides are saying on the record. We're just kind of presenting the facts and what both sides are saying. We're not really in a position to say whether we think, you know, he's right or her side is right. We're just kind of presenting it the way that it's playing out.
Yeah, certainly. So we'll keep an eye on that for you, give you updates. On to the fun part, though. We have been teasing this for a good week, the Bold Predictions episode.
Bold Predictions are here.
I have 5 bold predictions. Sean has 5 bold predictions. You glorious listeners were kind enough to send in 5 bold predictions. More than 5. We picked out 5 we thought were in the realm and that were thoughtful.
Interesting.
And
also didn't overlap with ours.
We wanted, that's true too. We wanted a right amount of heat behind the take, though. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Yes.
We didn't want scorching, make fun of it on the internet hot take. But we didn't need a room temperature.
We didn't need, they could make the playoffs if everything breaks right.
Correct. So we have compiled those, and I will start.
The way we're going to do it, Cody's going to do one, I'm going to do one, and then we're going to do one from a listener.
Yeah, I will start with one that is, not too far out there, but I think Bulls fans would be happy if this happens.
Mm-hmm.
Nico Mirotic will average 16 or more points per game. He averaged 11.8 last year. He has a wonderful opportunity, if he has a good training camp, to be the starting power forward. And if that's the case, he may be counted on to make a lot of three-point shots in that offense and kind of space the offense and stretch the defense. Sean, hot take, good take,
bold prediction? I think that's a little bit on the high end of what he could average, but I think it's reasonable. Again, he's going to get a lot of open threes just being on the court with who he's on the court with Rondo, Wade, and Butler. Rondo is obviously a guy who's great at getting people open shots. Mirotić is the only guy who can shoot, so he's going to get a lot of chances to hit threes. I think it's reasonable for him to average 16 points a game. It's not something I would predict because that's just kind of a pretty big jump. Didn't he average 11 last year?
Yeah, 11.8. Part of my thinking was Pau Gasol and Derrick Rose both averaged 16.5.
Yeah.
I know Dwayne Wade's in town and going to, hopefully for the Bulls, they'd like him to score in the high teens probably or so. But I still think someone's got to pick up a little bit more of that slack. I think it might be Niko Mirotić. Obviously he had a good Olympic competition, save for one or two bad, ugly games with some foul trouble. He shot the ball really well and played well, and we've seen in the past that kind of be a launching pad or
right.
point for people. On to your first one, Sean. What do you have for us?
I spoiled this one a little bit on our episode, on our over-unders episode earlier this week, so I'm just going to get the one that I've already put out there out of the way now. No matter what happens this season in terms of wins, losses, how the season goes, Fred Hoiberg is going to survive the year. He's not going to get fired during the season.
Why do you, what's kind of the background approach here? How'd you come to that conclusion?
First of all, he's going into year two of a five-year deal, and Jerry Reinsdorf, as we know, does not like to pay people to not work for him. It took it getting as bad as it got with Tom Thibodeau before they let him go with a couple of years left on his contract. And the other thing is that I think everybody recognizes that last year, with being Fred Hoiberg's first year, it was kind of not the ideal situation because it was the exact same roster as they had under Thibodeau the year before, and they're such different coaches that just putting in a new coach and giving him the exact same roster to work with when he wants to play a more up-tempo style and he's trying to run through guys like Pau Gasol who are older and slower and not really adept to that style of offense. I think he's going to get at least one full year to really implement what he wants to do.
But here's Ryan, to play devil's advocate, I would say he still doesn't have the roster he really wants, so this thing could go sideways, right? And coaches are hired to be fired. That's devil's advocate.
Right, but I think if it happens, it'll be after the season. I don't think it'll be during.
Yeah, I too would agree that Fred will be there all year. I think it'll be fun to kind of watch him have to get creative, but have some playmakers where it's a challenge for him, but also a higher ceiling here a little bit potentially for the Bulls offense. First one from a reader, from Amar on Twitter, and you can find us at Locked On Bulls on Twitter. He says, Rajon Rondo will be an all-star. Strong start.
That's a strong start to the bold predictions. I think that's a little bit too bold for my taste.
What do you think is his, I guess, how'd he reach that, do you think? I guess my point would be, if Rondo averages 11 assists a game, I think he averaged 11.7 last year.
He did lead the league in assists last year.
If he can lead the league in assists at the All-Star break, Kyrie's going to be an all-star point guard. Maybe there's an injury to someone else in
Here's the thing, though. John Wall, we don't know if he's going to be ready for camp.
Well, that, and he's mad at Bradley Beal, and Bradley Beal's mad at him, and that could get ugly in a hurry in Washington, so I'm still going through the point guards here. Kyle Lowry is a very good point guard, but I could see Rondo putting up bigger numbers, I guess, than Lowry for 45 games, and maybe the Raptors just kind of trudging along a little, not blowing anyone away or anything. So
Isaiah Thomas, I think, is going to be in that mix, too, with
true.
Boston.
He was
expected to be one of the best teams.
Yeah, he was one of the fringe guys last year.
He made it last year.
Yeah, kind of the end. Stiff competition. Goran Dragic is still in the East.
Yeah.
He's a good point guard.
The last time Rondo was an all-star was 2012-13, before he tore the ACL.
So that would be 4 years and a knee surgery later is what they're thinking.
Yeah, and he's 30 years old. I don't really see that happening, but it would certainly be good for the Bulls if he got back to that all-star level. I just don't really see it happening.
I like the prediction. Don't agree with it. Don't see
Keep
it happening.
That's what we want, though. We want these bold predictions to be bold.
My next one. The Bulls will be a bottom three offense in crunch time next year. Per whatever metric you want to use, field goal percentage or efficiency, They were bad at it last year, and I knew they were bad, but I had to go back today and look up how bad they were. And the Bulls were 24th in field goal percentage last year in crunch time, 25th in offensive efficiency in such situations, which is usually, I believe, defined by the last 5 minutes of a game that's within 5 points. If I remember right, there's a couple different ways to count it. That's certainly one of them.
Do you think this is because it's going to be awkward, you know, whether Wade or Butler is the one taking the last shot?
I think it's going to be a steep learning curve to figure out when the game's on the line here, kind of having so many alpha dogs, what exactly they're going to do. And also, I mean, say what you want, but defenses lock in a little bit more in crunch time. There's the dead balls, sometimes offensive, defensive substitutions. Mm-hmm. The NBA still allows 317 timeouts per team in the last 2 minutes of the game. So that other team can put their best defenders in, get locked in, and then that spacing has more of an effect. Over the course of, you know, a long 8 minute segment, when the other team's not taking timeouts, not trotting in a better defender, it's more likely that your offense is going to be fine. But, like, when you get locked in, I just think the Bulls are going to struggle. They did so last year. I think they're going to be bad in crunch time again. Miraculously, last year, according to NBA.com, they're really bad offensive efficiency in crunch time, but still went like 27-19 in the 46 games in such situations. So that doesn't mean they're going to take the L. I just think they're going to struggle a lot in crunch time. Moving on to your next one, though, Sean, what do you have for us?
I think there will be at least one Jimmy Butler trade rumor that has serious legs during the season, but that he will ultimately end the season still in Chicago.
I don't know how hot of a take is that. How crazy of a prediction is that?
Well, but the thing is, I think there's gonna be pretty serious. Like, I'm talking like reported by like
you're
Woj
talking
or
like
the
you're talking like Bulls Celtics draft night.
Sure, but something like that where it's like Woj and like all the national guys that actually are plugged in and have sources are reporting that it's close, and then it just ends up not happening.
Okay, why don't you think it'll happen? Because they know how valuable Jimmy Butler's contract is.
I think that's
and how good Jimmy Butler is.
I think
is.
That's part of it, and I think that I think they're gonna kind of realize like how bad it would look if they signed Rondo and Wade and then traded Butler. I think there's gonna be a lot of Jimmy Butler trade chatter, but I don't think it's gonna happen during the season. Now, that's not to say it won't happen next offseason, but I don't think it's gonna happen during the season.
Okay, fair enough. I like that. Next one, our second bold prediction from our readers, listeners, I should say. Readers and listeners. I'm sure you guys read us on Twitter. But Dallin via email, and you can find us on email at lockedonbulls@gmail.com, says the Bulls will have three all-stars in Dwayne Wade, Jimmy Butler, and then Nico Mirotic being the third one as an alternate when someone gets hurt and can't play. So that's kind of going off our first listener bold prediction. But Nico, if he averages 16 points a game, like I said, sure, there's an outside possibility he could be an all-star on the fringe. There always seems to be one kind of, whoa, where'd he come from guy or two on the all-star rosters. But, I mean, at the basis of this, D-Wade and Jimmy, all-stars to start it out?
Yeah, I think that's reasonable. Wade is the kind of guy, he's popular enough that he's going to win the fan vote.
Grandfathered into the All-Star game almost.
Right, exactly. He's going to get it. I don't know if they're going to change the rules. Adam Silver kind of hinted last year after, you know, Zaza Pachulia almost got voted as a starter in the All-Star
game. That was amazing.
That was incredible. But, like, Adam Silver kind of hinted that they're going to maybe clamp down on people being able to vote as many times as they want on social media. But I think Wade is still enough of like a big name to casual fans that he's going to get voted in by the fans as
Jimmy's
a starter.
The top 12
Jimmy,
player in the East.
Jimmy, you know, we think he's, you know, going to have a good enough year that he's going to make it, whether it's as a starter or be picked by the coaches. Mirotic, I think Mirotic is more reasonable to think could be an all-star than Rondo.
That's probably very true. But I like that. I like that idea for him. Moving on, Sean, I think you're up next here.
No, you're up. That was a
Oh, list. There we go. I am up. This might be one of my favorites, okay?
Okay.
This is kind of out there.
Okay.
This is really kind of out there.
Okay.
But my bold prediction is the Bulls medical staff / training staff will go an entire year without being in the headlines for the wrong reasons.
By the way, shout out to Jennifer Swanson. Congratulations for getting hired as the new Lakers
Something or another. She was the Bulls' former director of sports performance in the Derrick Rose era.
And she was kind of part of the tension between the front office and Tom Thibodeau, because she was kind of trying to dictate how many minutes Derrick and Joe would play. And Tom was not really feeling that, and the front office was, you know, wanting to give her a lot of say over that stuff.
Yeah, she was not on Team Tibbs. He was not on Team Swanson. I think that's part of it. They got Chip Schaefer, I believe, is kind of their new boss in that regard. And I think it'll be a much more well-run, respected operation. And speaking of the word operation, I think without Derrick Rose there, he's gone through so many knee surgeries. There was always drama surrounding that. Mm-hmm. And last year, it was Nikola Mirotic going in for an appendectomy and then getting nicked some type of complication. Hematoma removal, I think. And Nico losing 25 pounds. And basically, I would have to find the exact quote, but he basically admitted at times he feared for his life almost, is what Nico was basically saying. I know this is crazy because the Bulls every year are just in the headlines for medical purposes and reasons. I think they can stay out of them now that they got a little bit different operation. I think they're going to stay slightly more healthy. I think guys like Dwayne Wade are going to be like, eh, don't worry about it. I'm making my own decisions. And we know Dwayne Wade's a smart guy, so I just think there will be a little less drama, and we won't talk about that quite as much. I know that's out there, but I think we can get that done. Sean, on to your next one. What do you got for us?
That's pretty bold. It's not as bold as one of the listener ones that we have coming up, but that's pretty bold. I think, you know, going back, you know, I said something about trade rumors in my last one. I think Taj Gibson will be moved by the deadline.
Wouldn't be surprising to me. It would mark the end of an era because he really is the
only guy. He's the last Vinny Del Negro holdover now that Derek and Joe are gone.
That's very true. He's like the last guy of that heart and soul 2010-11 team, I believe, that put the Bulls back on the map, really, if I'm thinking right here. When do you think? Right before the trade deadline when all that talk heats up?
Yeah, it'll be around the deadline.
Why do you think the Bulls would trade him in such a scenario playing out?
Because he is a free agent at the end of the season. True. I don't think he's in their long-term plans, and I think if there's a team out there, like of Toronto, like he'd be great in Toronto, I think, and I know they've been linked to him before, but, you know, a team that's, you know, a contender, one of the secondary contenders, thinks they're one piece away from catching the Spurs or the Warriors or the Cavs, or at least, you know, being able to be competitive with them. Taj Gibson is the kind of guy that you could have for maybe not very much, maybe like a future first rounder or something, and he'll be effective right away, and he'll be able to contribute to a lot of
Marco Bellinelli went for, I think, the number 22 overall pick in the first round this past June, so there was a time where teams were really reluctant to, like, part with the first rounder, but that kind of changed, I feel like, a little bit with that Bellinelli trade, just kind of resetting the market as far as what everyone's worth. So that would certainly be an end of an era. We love quoting Taj. We love listening to him. Good guy. But future basketball plans, certainly with the Bulls looking bigger picture, he might not be in it.
We have another one about Nico.
We do.
We've talked about from a listener.
Mark via Twitter, his crazy prediction. Nico Mirotic will hit 3+ three-pointers per game while shooting over 40% from long range. That's sliding right into my 16 points per game.
Yeah.
Bold prediction. You think that's fair? Think that's reasonable?
It's reasonable. I think that the thing with Nico, we know he can knock it down, and I think he ended up with shooting 38 or 39% from three last year after he basically, after the All-Star break, after he came back from the injury, he was shooting lights out.
Yeah,
I think,
like mid-40s almost.
I think there's a good chance that both playing in the Olympics this summer and being healthy finally after the surgery he had last year, and then also just the amount of open looks he's going to get with the Bulls' new starting lineup if he's the power forward, then I think there's a good chance that he, you know, takes a step forward in terms of the consistency.
I say this completely seriously. Nico Mirotic may get one wide-open three-pointer per game more than he would have in years past just based off Rondo's passing brilliance from an angle you didn't think was possible. Yes. Not saying he'll make that shot. Not saying he's going to shoot 80% on it. Not saying he won't get more looks anyway just from the offense as a whole normally. But Rondo can make passes that others can't, sees a floor in a way they don't. So that would be, I guess, a little of the positive spin on why that might happen. Here's another one for me, my fourth bold prediction.
Okay.
Bulls will be called by outsiders the team that no one wants to face in the playoffs by the end of the year. And I kind of come up with it partially because isn't like that what... That's what the Heat were last year because Dwayne Wade.
That's what every team is.
There's always one of those
teams
every year.
It's like
they can go 43 and 39 slip into the 7 seed, the 8 seed or something, and still people are going to want to say that.
Like Charlotte the first year that they made the playoffs. There's so many. Like,
they're not going to win 50 games, but they still might be the most dangerous team in the Eastern Conference after the Cavs. Like, that will be the national narrative in the
Eastern
Conference.
Whether it's true or not is a different discussion, but that's going to be something that gets written and talked
about. We're not here to render judgment on what the truth will be, just what the narratives are going to be. So I do like that one. Sean, what do you got next for us?
So, sort of on the same note of the Eastern Conference playoff picture, one thing that the Bulls really liked to talk about this past year was that they went 7-1 against the top two teams in the East, the Cavaliers and the Raptors. And that was a big thing that they talked about why they should have been better. I think that once again, the Bulls will go 7-1 against the top two teams in the East, which will give them something meaningless to tout when the season goes off the rails, or if the season goes off the rails.
All right, so you're saying they're going to go 7-1 against the Cavs and the Celtics.
Or the Raptors, whichever one of those teams.
No, I think I got the Celtics slotting in at the second seed in the East. Maybe even the one seed if the Cavs put it on cruise control.
Yeah, I could see that. I think the Bulls are going to win a lot of games against the top teams, and that's going to be something that Gar Forman talks about in his end of season press conference.
Looking forward to that. Some things you can predict with certainty. That seems to be one of them. Another bold prediction from a reader, Gideon.
Via
email.
Yeah, use that one. Yeah, go.
This one's interesting. Okay, I'm gonna tell you what he told us via email. Then I'm going to maybe twist it a little bit into what we might have to put him on record for. But he says the Bulls won't be as bad as you think, and they could go all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. Mark my words. Should be pointed out that Gideon said they could go all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm on record as saying they could as well do anything. Anything is possible. But I'm going to put it in the archives as Gideon saying the Bulls are going to the Eastern Conference Finals, because that's what we want on these bull predictions.
I mean, somebody has to go into the Eastern Conference Finals against Cleveland.
Somebody has to lose to LeBron in late May, right around Memorial Day, right? First week of June?
Somebody has to.
The Bulls have done it before. They're certainly capable of doing it again. What would be remarkable, though, if that did play out, or even if we got an Eastern Conference semifinal series between LeBron and the Cavs and Dwayne Wade and the Bulls.
They've never played each other in the playoffs before.
Well, exactly. And LeBron last year expressed he wanted to play LeBron, or LeBron wanted to play Dwayne Wade in the playoffs, but the Heat didn't make it as far as they needed to there. So that would be fascinating. I wouldn't give the Bulls a great chance, but it would be really fun because Dwayne Wade gets up for those games.
It could be the 1-8.
That's very true. Very true, but in that case, we won't give Gideon credit at the end of the year for his bold prediction of the Eastern Conference Finals. I will finish it off with this one.
Okay.
And from my end. And I don't say this with inside information. It just feels to me that this could happen by the end of the year because it's logical. And I'm predicting that Fred Hoiberg will more publicly distance himself from Gar Forman by season's end. I don't expect this year to always be smooth for the Bulls. And you're in a big media market. You got guys who are already calling themselves the three alphas. You got egos there. You got a lot of feelings. You got a lot of veterans. And I don't think it's going to be a smooth ride. I think there'll be a lot of questions just about how everything's going on at times. And Fred Hoiberg's a really smart guy, really smart basketball mind. He's very, very much tied in the court of public opinion to Gar Forman, just because Gar went out and hired him, and basically
they Iowa State connection together.
Exactly. They fired one of the best coaches in the NBA, one of the most successful coaches in franchise history, one of the most respected coaches in the game in Tom Thibodeau, put Fred in there, and I just think Fred wants to probably be his own man, and he also is smart enough to realize that if things really do go south, like Gar Forman could be on the way out the door at some point if the season goes sideways. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, the Bulls don't have championship aspirations. They've strayed from that after they signed Dwayne Wade, saying there's no expectation yet. But at the same time, you have to think, like, if they just want to get back to respectability, I mean, when that's the ceiling, when it's like 47 wins and a playoff win, like, the floor's not too far away, you know, like a 37-win season's in play too. And then the heat gets turned up on everyone from the front office to the coaching staff to the players. And I just think Fred Well, I mean, he's not going to go out there and trash him or anything, but he's just going to be more of his own person, you know? And he has front office experience dating back to the Timberwolves, so he's a smart guy, and he knows how the game and basketball politics work. We always talk about basketball politics on here.
Yeah.
But that's kind of my take, I think.
That's interesting. Okay, so my last bold prediction.
Let's hear it.
Kirk Heinrich, still unsigned. I think he will be back in the Bulls organization in some capacity this season, whether that's as a player... or as an assistant coach, or as a front office person, or as an ambassador, or as
he's
a community ambassador.
He's not going to be an ambassador. That sideline is full between Scotty, Tony Kukoc,
Randy Brown.
Well, he's in the front office. Horace Grant's some sort of ambassador, assistant, special advisor to someone now. A lot of former Bulls are. But I feel like the ambassadorial role is full. Like, we're going to have to make an embassy at this point. Like, if they had any more of them.
Well, hey, the embassy doesn't need a gritty point guard that knows where to be and makes all the right plays.
That would be hilarious.
He's got a house in the area. It'll be great.
What about a 10-day contract a la, was it Mike James was a famous Bull, signed him to 10 days, cut him.
Ronnie re-signed. Brewer.
Like just one 10-day contract for Kirk Heinrich? Is that too much to ask in 2016?
You know what? I'm surprised that Tom hasn't picked him up yet in Minnesota.
Well, maybe that should be your bold prediction. Just doesn't even relate to the Bulls, but a former cherished Bull who well-respected in the Kirk Heinrich era for everything it wasn't, and it was never, like, explosive offensively or anything.
I think what needs to happen, he needs to be back on the Bulls and then be cut and then go on to another team, and then they play the Bulls and they can recycle the same tribute video that they've recycled two other times with him.
We're going to wrap this one up with our last reader bold
the
prediction.
The boldest prediction yet.
This is very, very bold. I don't know what a synonym for bold is, but it's the next level for this. And Will via Twitter says, I believe Tony Snell actually takes a step forward and leapfrogs Doug McDermott in the rotation because Tony will provide solid offense and solid defense, a two-way solid contributor, basically.
Is this the year Tony Snell puts it all together, Cody?
No. I don't think so. I think his opportunity has passed him by, and he's had a lot of opportunity.
That's the thing. It's not like a guy who's just never been able to get off the bench. You don't know if he's good or not. He's played plenty for the Bulls over the last 3 years, and he's not good.
Yeah.
The plus-minus numbers are weird because he has one of the best plus-minuses on the team, but he's not good.
It's incredible. I still want someone to do a feature story on the plus minus, just how shocking that is.
How many words do you think Tony would be willing to say for the story? 3, 4?
Yeah, it would. Tony's well known for short responses with the media. I mean, hasn't exactly had to be in front of the microphone a lot, obviously. And that's just kind of, he's a soft-spoken guy, works hard. I just think that the Bulls have a lot more invested in Doug McDermott. And need what Doug provides, three-point shooting, when he's out there. I think they believe that he has the attitude to get better at defense and be serviceable, be solid within a system, and they want to give him all of that opportunity to do so. Of course, Tony will get some minutes, I think, but I think that opportunity for a bigger role has gone by. Certainly, I think we need to keep these jotted down, though,
yeah,
for memory's sake. You know, what's it worth if we're not going to keep score of this at some point down the line? And hey, if that turns out to be true, Will, via Twitter, we will give you credit at the end of the year if that happens, no doubt. We'll definitely owe you a shout-out on the podcast. But as always, we appreciate you listening to Locked on Bulls. Please do follow us on Twitter, at Locked on Bulls, at Cody Westerlin, at Hyken. Subscribe to us on iTunes. It's the best thing you can do.
Leave us a 5-star review.
Hit us up where else? On Audio Boom,
Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play. Email us lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Make sure you check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, Locked On NFL, Locked On NBA. David Locke has a great interview this week with Utah Jazz head coach Quinn Snyder. You should go check that out.
We greatly appreciate your feedback for the bold prediction questions and comments. Keep it coming, keep listening, and we'll catch you next time.